I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. You are in Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinkers out there. Today's Friday. I will continue. I will soldier on with my segment on False Flag Fridays. Today I'm going to do a story that will focus on something a little bit different. And we've got in the news right now a horrific example of the effects of falling for false flags that keep us in perpetual wars. We've seen a dramatic consequence of that in the headlines recently. We're going to talk about that, a slightly different take on the show, but still something that needs to be discussed nevertheless. So we'll do that next hour, as I always do. Yesterday I had Ron Morris on. It was a fun show, actually. We really spent a lot of time. Ron Morris is the head of the Mississippi Libertarian Party. And it's really gotten to the point. We've had a fantastic time. We basically laughed our way through an hour. And it's gotten to the point where you really just almost have to laugh at where things are. Now, my personal life, that's really most of what I do is laugh, crack jokes and stuff. This stuff does not affect me kind of on a cellular level. But we've gotten to an absurdity in this country where, and I'm watching this, I guess, what is Michael Savage's new book? I can't believe I can't remember it as many times as he talks about it on the air. It's mass insanity in this country. Does he say mass insanity or hysteria? Anyway, we have gotten to a level where it has become absurd. The news is absurd. The talking points of both of the parties are largely absurd. The behavior of people on both sides is strange to me. And so you really just kind of have to throw your hands up and laugh at this stuff. And when I saw what happened on Tuesday, in the state of Mississippi in particular, when Mississippi has allowed the establishment that has failed them by and large, that most people would say they are dissatisfied with, when they've let this establishment continue to call the shots in a unique situation where they had an opportunity to actually reclaim some level of freedom over who our representatives are. It's just time to accept our lot in life and just really basically laugh at it. But I'm going to talk more about Tuesday today. We're going to do a little bit of a thought experiment today. Maybe future generations in Mississippi will be smarter than we are. Maybe they will actually have some courage. Maybe they will think for themselves. Very, very, it's Mississippi, just come on, guys. We're 50th in everything. Do you think maybe it's time for some changes? Time to kind of shake the system up just a little bit? What have we got to lose? As Donald Trump told the black community during the last elections, what have you got to lose at this particular point? No, we have decided to go down that well-worn path of establishment, placeholder, rubber stamp Republican rhinos sent to Washington, D.C., and by God, that's what Mississippi does. We just keep sending them up there. Or do we? We're gonna talk about that today. If you want to ever listen to the show, if you're not around a radio, you can always get WYAB on the TuneIn app. That's what I use on my phone. Just go download the TuneIn app, find WYAB on there, search for it. You can get it there. Where you can also listen to us live on WYAB.com. We stream there, and this show is podcast every day. Usually goes out about an hour or so after the show is completed. You can find that on themikemadisonshow.podbean.com, or you can subscribe to it on iTunes, and Podbean, luckily, automatically uploads to iTunes for me. I'll say hello to the 2% of people that supposedly listen to this show in Hong Kong. I'm sure those are bots. It just kind of cracks me up. Not a good metric for how many people listen to podcasts, but I do offer it there because I do some kind of long-form stuff. I know people are tuned in and out of talk radio. I do so myself. So if you want to catch anything, yesterday's show with Ron Morris, I just thought was, I don't know, I thought it was pretty fun. So we're about to get it on in the show here. And we'll see if anybody wants to call in. I'm sure this may rile some people up one side or the other. I'm going to go lock the studio door when I take a break. I'm going to lock the studio door. I'm going to take a chair and I'm going to prop it up underneath the doorknob so that everybody else at the station cannot come in and rip me away from this microphone, because I'm going to ask some kind of uncomfortable questions or actually just do a thought experiment on how we approach the runoff election with Cindy Hyde-Smith and Mike Espy, because we are finding ourselves, this is the election on Tuesday, we had a unique opportunity. And that unique opportunity at the time was you could really vote your conscience between Cindy Hyde-Smith and Chris McDaniels without any fear of handing the seat over to a Democrat. You know, there's all this talk about third party running and spoiling something. That's a big knock against the Libertarian movement or even the Reform Party or any other parties. The big knock from your party players is, well, these third parties come in and they're a spoiler. The Democrats will point to the Green Party and say that they spoil elections for them. They don't accept any responsibility. Neither one of the big parties accept any responsibility for alienating giant chunks of their base. They just blame people for voting their conscience, which is really kind of gross, but it's what's led us to be trapped in this horrible two-party system we've got. But we had a unique opportunity because between Cindy Hyde-Smith and Chris McDaniel, the Republicans were going to get more than 50%. It was going to be forced to a runoff. So you were going to have the opportunity to continue to send a Republican to Washington, D.C., regardless of how you voted. So you had this one time where you really could kind of vote your conscience. Now, I'm going to talk about the results later on in the show. Is there any possibility that there's a rat in the vote in Mississippi? I have no proof of anything like that. I'm just going to ask some questions later. The overwhelming victory by Cindy Hyde-Smith seems odd to me. I'll just put it that way. But when I come back, I'm going to secure the studio door here. I'm going to make sure I'm barricaded in here well so that I can do a segment or two about how we should approach the runoff, because I have some questions. We find ourselves, not only was Tuesday a unique day, because you had this seat, you didn't have a really entrenched incumbent because Cindy Hyde-Smith hadn't been there for very long. Republicans were still going to have another crack at making sure that the seat was filled by a Republican if they wanted to, so you could vote. But we have another unique opportunity in the runoff. And so there's the ability for us to do a pros and cons list about how we approach the runoff. And I know that a ton of people are going to disagree with me on this. Now, I don't know I'm even going to come to a conclusion. I'll let you come to your own conclusion. But there are things to consider. And we'll get to that when we come back. Let me go barricade the door. I'll be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. The Mazda Jackson phone line here at WYAB is 601-879-0002 if you want to join the show today. We're going to take a look. I've got myself barricaded up. See, I listen to WYAB. I like the variety that we have on this station. There are other stations that feel kind of party-centric, let me put it that way. Now, this is a conservative station. I would imagine I share quarters here with a lot of very dogged Republicans. I used to be one, and I voted Republican on Tuesday. I didn't get to pick many people. I didn't vote entirely Republican. I voted Libertarian against Roger Wicker. in my raise my fist protest moment of sending another rubber stamp Republican establishment player up there. Roger Wicker will not ever get any of my votes. You know, it was one of those safe seats. What was I worried about? And here's the question, though. What to do on runoff day? And I've listened to other shows, and what I think the overwhelming consensus for most people is, we're not going to cut off our nose to spite our face. Chris McDaniel fans need to get in line with Cindy Hyde-Smith. The last thing we need to do is let a Mississippi seat, Senate seat, go to a Democrat. And there is certainly some merit to that. I've had good, I've heard the James Tulp show, James talk about, well, one thing you don't want to see is you don't want to see Democrats get a Senate seat. It will energize them in Mississippi. They'll be able to raise money off of that. I guess my question would be, is money really the issue in Mississippi? Are the Democrats just not spending enough money in Mississippi? And if they spent more money, more people in Mississippi would vote Democrat? I kind of doubt that. I mean, I think people are pretty clear on their choices here. But I understand that certainly is a good argument to make. But is there anything else on the runoff day that we can do? And so I started thinking about this as I was having a conversation with somebody. They asked me, well, are you going to vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith? And I said, well, I'm not really sure. I'm kind of looking at that, trying to figure out exactly what the strategy is. Some good callers to other shows on WYAB have made the point that this is only a two-year Senate seat, essentially, because the term, Thad Cochran's term, will be up in 2020, so we've got 2 years to deal with. So here is what we're running into again. We've got another unique situation again. We had one on Tuesday, Mississippi whiffed. As far as I'm concerned, Mississippi whiffed. Or did they? We'll talk about that later. I find myself, in the back of my mind, there's just that little itch that just says, seriously? McDaniel, who came within a hair's breadth of beating Thad Cochran, a long-term incumbent Republican, probably pretty popular in this state. You mean to tell me he got spanked like that by Cindy Hyde-Smith? I don't know. I'm not saying I have any proof of anything, but it just seems, even the final numbers. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about that later. We have this unique situation. Okay, so first of all, it's a two-year term. Now, the biggest argument for people is, well, at least what I hear, what I would read in comment sections, and really more what I've heard from callers on WYAB is, not to this show, but to other shows, the Kim Wade Show, James Tulp Show, anywhere that I've heard callers call in. And they've said, well, one of the most important things is to get people to get up there and support Donald Trump's agenda, particularly when it comes to the judiciary. Now, this may have taken on some renewed importance pretty quickly as Ruth Bader Ginsburg has fallen and broken some ribs and shown the frailty that she has at this particular point. So here's the other unique thing. It's already a Republican Senate. Cindy Hyde-Smith will just be another one. Now, Republicans will tell you they want as many senators as they can have. They really want a supermajority. There's no possibility of a supermajority. Cindy Hyde-Smith, going to Washington, D.C., will not tip the Republicans into a supermajority where they could really do what they wanted to do. Now, I'm not necessarily a fan of a supermajority for the Republicans anyway, because they seem to spend a lot. They seem to love wars. They don't seem to ever do things like the border. Or, you know, I don't feel like more power for the Republicans is necessarily going to accomplish anything. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But so Cindy Hyde-Smith is not going to tip to a supermajority. She's not going to be the deciding factor in whether or not the Senate is majority Republican. It's already there. That's already a given. It's already done. So you can see where this is unique, because usually on Tuesdays, on the Super Tuesdays, when you've got these, or I guess Super Tuesdays, is that just when it's a presidential election? Anyway, on Election Day Tuesday, we're usually faced with this idea that we need to vote for a Republican or a Democrat, because there's mystery still in the air as to who is going to win the Senate or who is going to win the House in those elections. And so everybody goes to the polls hoping to vote for a Republican from Mississippi to tip the scales to make it a majority Republican Senate or a majority Republican House. That's already done. It's over. We know it's a majority Republican Senate. No matter what happens in Mississippi on the 27th, it is going to be a Republican majority. So very little really hangs in the balance. They will probably end up with, now I guess Arizona is still a little bit more in contention than they thought, but taking Jeff Flake out of the picture, he's gone. You then have Susan Collins of Maine and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska as people that can be a little wishy-washy, but they've even gone over to where their two votes don't really count that much anymore. Republicans can still get a majority for judges, for Supreme Court justices, for other legislation they want. Cindy Hyde-Smith will just be an extra, just another one. So there's pros and cons here. So now I'm not suggesting to go out and vote for Mike Espy. I wouldn't do that. I don't support Mike Espy. But what is there any value in finally breaking or at least tripping up the establishment control of Mississippi's Republican Party? They have handpicked candidates and spoon-fed them to the public now for what I can figure is at least, what, 20 to 30 years. I haven't gone back and done the history to see what it's been, but when Trent Lott left and Roger Wicker got his seat and Thad Cochran stayed for a long time, and you know these people resigned so that the party machine in Mississippi can appoint somebody to their seat so that they're an incumbent going into the elections. And they always appoint somebody who's going to be a party, team, establishment player time and time again. Now, what we are doing by saying, well, all you Chris McDaniel fans out there, you need to get behind Cindy Hyde-Smith. I understand. And we're going to go through the pros and cons. I understand that. But what we're saying is the establishment wins. They've got us right where they want us, and now we're trying to trick ourselves into thinking it's our idea. But you've been spoon-fed another candidate. Is there any value in right now going to the establishment and saying, you know what, it's only 2 years. The Republicans have already got a majority. Nothing's going to materially change if there's another Republican or a Democrat going to Washington, D.C. You know what? We might strike out on our own this time. We might turn our back on your candidate for a change. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Hello, Mike. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. I've been listening to you, and I keep remembering, did I hear on the election night that Chris McDaniel, right. I'm sorry about that. But I heard him say that he want his...
Hey, get back to the phone. I can't hear you.
He want his supporters to go and vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith as well, am I?
Yeah, that's correct. That's
so
correct.
You don't agree with what he was saying or what?
No, I mean, that's a political move, and that's a Republican showing some loyalty to the party. I don't have any problem with that, and I don't think Chris McDaniel would necessarily agree with what I'm saying right now. This is just kind of a thought experiment of, I just wonder if it wouldn't be in Mississippi's best interest ultimately over the long run to finally break the stranglehold of establishment feeding us our candidates. And if they were feeding us good candidates, real conservative candidates, people who actually fought for things like the Constitution and smaller government and things like that, but they don't. They give us the party players. They give us their kingmakers. And the people have really seemed, now they had a chance to exercise some control on Tuesday, and they whiffed, apparently, if everything's to be believed. More on that later. I'm just saying, so I don't, you know, that's Chris McDaniels just playing the polite, you know, I mean, that's a normal thing, I guess is what I'm stuttering through here. It's just pretty normal for one Republican when he loses to say, okay, let's vote for this other person. The party is important. We want to send him up there. So I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that. I'm just doing a thought experiment. What are the stakes right now? What's more important, adding one more Republican to an already majority Republican Senate or breaking the stranglehold of the establishment Mississippi cabal?
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, Mike, and then I'll hang up. But I really feel like if you open the door up for a Democrat to get in there, you're going to end up paying for it in the long run. And I told you, I'll go and hang up and listen to you, okay?
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call. Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. There's certainly a danger of that. Absolutely. And again, I'm not necessarily coming to any conclusions here. It's just an interesting time. There's some uniqueness about this, and I don't know that we should do this without any thought. I, for one, am just sick and tired of the establishment. And I believe that a lot of people share that view. The problem is nobody takes actions to change that. Now, let me take that back. Let me walk that back a second. They did. They elected Donald Trump to the presidency. But that's not enough. That's not enough. That's not going to change anything. In Mississippi, I mean, as I say, man, God, we've been 50th for, in darn near, 50th where we don't want to be and first where we don't want to be for long enough. And that has a lot to do with, you know, state elected representatives, too, and lack of vision and creativity on our own side. And we've got some other things against us. I love Mississippi. You know, it's not an easy state. I'm not expecting us to bound up to third most prosperous and income levels and eradicate poverty. But, you know, I mean, it's just we've been doing things exactly the same way for so long. Doesn't really feel like it's serving us. And I just hear so many complaints about the establishment. And again, I guess I'm just in a bubble when I look at the election results because I couldn't find a Cindy Hyde Smith supporter anywhere. And now I see, I guess I'm tired of the game. I'm tired of the riggedness of it. I'm tired of the kingmakers. I'm tired of having things chosen for me and then making me feel bad if I don't support it. But that is how that's who I am. Anybody who listens to this show knows I'm different than a lot of people. I'm a wildly independent person, probably even more so because I didn't used to be, and I feel like a sucker for how I got tricked so long ago. We have a unique situation where Cindy Hyde Smith doesn't really add anything. Now, the danger, as caller just said, is that there's a possibility that if SB gets elected, that maybe the Republicans don't unseat him in 2020. But I got to tell you, there's a very good chance they do. Couldn't they get it right back? And here's another danger to that, too. What if the establishment just gives us another establishment candidate in 2020? I mean, there's some heavy lifting on the voter side to make this work. There would be a primary process leading up to the 2020 election. So Republicans would have a chance to go in and figure out what candidate they wanted. If they go in and select just another establishment, then it's all for naught. And that's a very real possibility in Mississippi because there's obviously a lot of people that are just in love with any R that has the rubber stamp, the stamp of approval from the higher-ups, the kingmakers in this state. I don't know who these people are. They feel very simple-minded to me that they continue to allow this to happen. It's not intellectually consistent to be wildly dissatisfied with the establishment in Washington, D.C., complain about it, moan about it, then cast your support to Donald Trump as a disruptor and an anti-establishment candidate, and then support the establishment candidates in Mississippi. That's not intellectually consistent, so I'm not sure where the disconnect there is. So there's some danger to allowing Mike Espy to win, but is it worth a little bit of a risk to break the establishment stranglehold on Mississippi representatives to Washington, D.C.? Because, boy, do we get a big fat bowl of vanilla ice creams sent up to Washington, D.C. Don't see a lot of vision, not a lot of creativity, not a lot of strong stances. I don't see a lot of good. We've had establishment players up there for the last 2 years while Republicans ran the table, both chambers and the presidency. Did you get your wall? Did you get Obamacare done away with? Did you rein in the Department of Education? No, they just actually gave the largest budget increase to the Department of Education this past year. So what are you clinging to? Just another R? You just want to see it be 55-45, 56-44? It's just exciting for people just to see more R's up there. You don't care what actually happens. You don't care what the results are. You just want those extras there so that you look like you're on the winning team. Or do results matter? Maybe the establishment, if you took down an establishment candidate, even if the Mississippi kingmakers looked at that and said, okay, we can't just keep giving them the same old crap. We're going to have to get somebody that at least feels a little bit more populist or a little bit more of a hellraiser, or maybe somebody who actually believes some of the things like small limited government that would vote against massive increases for the Department of Education. You know what I'm saying? Somebody different. Maybe even they wouldn't keep trying to pass these people off to us. Is there any value in breaking the stranglehold of the establishment on the choices that Mississippians are given to send to Washington, D.C.? If you're happy with the people that have gone to Washington, D.C. over the last 20 or 30 years, God love you. Call up and explain to me why. If you're not happy, is maybe now our one and only chance, even though it's a little risky. Nothing ventured, nothing gained. No pain, no gain. Is there any value in finally breaking apart their stranglehold on Mississippi politics? Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he is the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today. Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, this is the Mike Madison Show. Thanks for joining me. We're doing just a little bit of thought experiment. I'm just talking this thing through. I'm not trying to sway anybody one way or another. I'm just saying, is there any other way to look at the runoff election? Barricaded in here, you know, people up at WYAB, they're great people. I mean, really, just I love the staff here. I love just it's great. But people might disagree with me on some things. I've heard that probably what I would imagine the saying that I've heard the most this week is, and there's some validity to this. I'm not even really challenging. It's cut off your nose to spite your face. If you're a Chris McDaniel supporter and you're discouraged that we went back with an establishment candidate in Cindy Hyde-Smith to abandon her and then hand the seat over to a Democrat, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face. And I think there is certainly an argument to be made there. I'm just making bringing up some other points. So if you put this stuff down in a pros and cons list, again, this is all just a thought experiment for you to consider. So the pros to voting for Cindy Hyde-Smith at this point, if you're a Chris McDaniel fan, really, this is open to anybody because maybe some people voted, I don't know, this is just for anybody. You want to keep the GOP in charge of the Senate so that the Trump agenda continues to move on, Trump gets his judges through. You can already put a check mark by that. It's already done. So whether or not Cindy Hyde-Smith wins or not, that's done. You want to have more people in the Senate, more Republican senators. That's a legitimate desire, I guess. It's not going to make a whole lot of difference right now because they're going to have a majority so that they can, you know, as I said, Jeff Flake's gone, Murkowski and Collins, who sometimes dissent with more conservative movements throughout the Senate, they'll be negated. You'll still be able to get a 52 vote majority to get things passed. So having an extra person there is not as valuable as it could be. Like I say, if we were going into an election where the fate of the majority of the Senate was at risk, this is a totally moot point. Nothing I'm talking about really serves, but we already know the Republicans have already locked up the majority. Now, Democrats might make inroads. They might get energized in the states. There would be national headlines that say a Democrat actually won a Senate seat in Mississippi. And I know that would be abhorrent to a lot of people, myself included. So there is that. That's on the pros list of voting for Cindy Hyde-Smith. What about the cons? Are there any cons to doing this? And again, this is just a thought experiment. Don't yell at me. You can disagree. You can weigh in. Cindy Hyde-Smith's not a conservative. Now, she says she's a conservative. It's just I haven't heard that convincing argument that said, yes, I voted. Not only was she a Democrat, she was a Hillary Democrat. That's a long, now, Trump kind of was too. But that's a pretty long journey. I mean, it's been 10 years. Maybe she really has seen the light and understood the error of her ways. But, I mean, I don't know a lot of people that were just really deep in for somebody as Democratic and as establishment Democrat as Hillary Clinton and as corrupt as Hillary Clinton that you could vote for somebody like that and go, oh, no, now I'm with Donald Trump. That's pretty rare. Maybe she's that exception. But I don't know anybody who thinks she's a real small government, you know, at least to me, particularly as a libertarian that really wants a small government because the big one doesn't work. She's a big government statist establishment Republican. Wouldn't that be a better descriptor of her than any kind of rock-ribbed conservative, regardless of talking points and campaign ads and her website, which I'll get to in a second? Another con is she was another hand-picked, anointed choice, spoon-fed to the public. Does that make you at all a little grumpy? Are you a little tired of having your candidates chosen for you? Maybe not. Maybe you're happy with this crop. And the only reason I even feel the cover to say this, while I may be disagreeing with other people at the station, and there's some people who won't agree with this at large in the public, the only reason I feel comfortable saying this is that most of the conversations I've had over the last 2 to 5 years have been, golly, these rhinos. We're so sick of these rhinos. What's up with all these rhinos? We got to tear this stuff down. Go Trump. He's going to bust up the establishment. So I feel like there's a groundswell of support for busting up the establishment. So is it a little bit of a con to say, a con in my pros and cons list, meaning, is it a little bit disingenuous to say, well, we should vote for an establishment, you know, rhino? She's been spoon-fed to us. It seems to be a con. She's not needed. The majority is already with the Republicans right now. They'll have a majority by at least 4 or 5, I guess, by the counts right now. I'm not sure where Arizona's going. Just so judges will be approved. All GOP stuff. Trump's agenda can continue to soldier on without her. Seems to me she's a little bit of a freebie. Either way, she either doesn't have a whole lot of effect if she goes. If she doesn't go, it doesn't tilt powers at all. Here's the bottom line, I guess, what I'm trying to say. Do you want to reward the, what I feel is a kind of an underhanded way the establishment screwed McDaniel in 2014, and the way they do this, retire, appoint, and if Cindy Hyde-Smith wins, she's going to be there for 30 years. So while what I'm saying would be a risky thing to do, which would be to just stay home, I'm not suggesting anybody vote for Mike Espy. I don't know why you would vote for Mike Espy. And there's a weird thing out there, too. It's like you have an obligation to cast a vote. You know, even if you don't know anything about any of the candidates, it's your duty to go out there and vote for somebody. Cast your vote. It's your responsibility. People have fought and died to give you the right to vote. You need to go vote. Look, if you don't understand anything about the election, if you don't know anything about the candidates, please don't vote. Just don't vote. There's times that I still go to the polls, and there might be a local election I hadn't been paying attention to between a couple of judges, and I don't know which one is better. I have some people in the legal field that I know are conservatives. I'll ask their opinion usually, but if I don't know, I don't vote for those people because I'm not going to screw up the chances of a good person because I make a bad choice. So if you don't know about anything, don't vote. So I'm not suggesting you have to go to the polls on the 27th. You have to check a box, and it's a black and white decision. Mike, are you telling us to go out and vote for Mike Espy? Absolutely not. Nope. I'm just saying, is the mandate that all Republicans and all conservatives line up like well-behaved children behind the hand-picked, anointed establishment candidate, is it warranted? Do we have to do that? Are you being somehow disingenuous or disloyal as a conservative or Republican to not line up behind another handpicked candidate? Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yes. Hey, Mike, it's Mike. You're not alone. I think it's worth the risk. Like you say, we've got the majority.
Yeah, done deal.
I think she's a female Thad Cochran, basically.
Yep, yep. Or Roger Wicker. Or yeah, Greg Harper.
Any one of them.
Right.
It's certainly worth the risk. I don't know very much about Mike Espy. Seems like a decent guy. I'll probably go vote for him. I've never voted Democrat because, you know, we're hammered in the head to vote Republican around here. But
yeah, and I tell you, I mean, I think if he was really it would be a little different too if I thought he was a radical socialist liberal or something that needed to be stopped. Yeah. I think in Mississippi he'd have to be pretty moderate in the first place to even have a chance to stand for re-election in 2020. So, and I don't think he would withstand 2020 if the Republicans regained themselves and said, okay, now we pick our candidate. I think they could take him down pretty easily by about 60-40, maybe 55-45, because he would actually be an incumbent. But I don't think he would do a whole lot of damage. I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel like the minority he's going to do a lot of damage.
I agree. I think they need to go back to the drawing board and get somebody else, you know.
Well,
we can have some say on it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, if not now, when? That's my big question, because this seat's going to be gone for 30 years. Cindy Hyde-Smith will be there until maybe she gets a lucrative lobbying job set up for her and she decides to resign in the middle of a term one time and they appoint another person that goes into the next election as an incumbent. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a placeholder for the establishment in Mississippi. It's either now or never.
They would never do that.
Yeah, that would be strange, wouldn't it? Hey, thanks. I appreciate that. Good to know I'm not completely alone. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right, bye. All right, got to run real quick, take a quick break. Just think about it. Is there any reason to think about this, or is this some kind of, am I committing some kind of heresy on conservative radio as we speak? Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I think one benefit that I have in being some level of objective is that, see, I'm not in any way, shape, or form involved in the Republican Party. I do not get invitations to their cocktail parties. I don't travel in circles because I'm a nice guy. I really am. I like people. Always want to give people the benefit of the doubt as human beings. I could sit down and have lunch with Cindy Hyde-Smith, and I bet you if I got to know her, she might be a super nice woman. And I would just hate it, because then she would say, Mike, why would you do that? I'm just trying to, you know, she'd give me some talking points or whatever. And I might feel bad. I might pull a punch. Same with Roger Wicker, with Thad Cochran. With Greg Harper, they're probably super nice people, and maybe I would just really feel conflicted at that point, and I would pull a punch. I don't know these people, so I don't have to pull a punch. I'm willing to admit they may be wonderful people, but doesn't it feel like we have got, like, just basically some kind of a cutout empty suit that we keep sending to Washington, D.C., and they just pencil in the face whenever they want to? It's just the same person. It's like some kind of a Mississippi establishment clone we keep sending to Washington, D.C., and then we're dissatisfied with the results, but we send another clone. I was looking at Cindy Hyde-Smith's webpage last night, because I was, you know what I might do, I'll probably report on this if they'll actually give me an answer. I have questions for people. I would love for her to answer some tough questions. I know I don't have any illusions I'm going to get through to her and engage her in some meaningful dialogue, but so I went to the website, and I may submit a question to her, call her campaign office, ask about a couple of things. She's got, I guess there is a stock. I don't have the time or energy or really the interest even to go to every senator, every rhino senator's website. But I would imagine the language is pretty cookie cutter. I would imagine there's some company out there that just churns out the typical Republican website for the rhinos that really don't have any intentions of shrinking government and giving us freedom back and, you know, changing things up at all. So there's probably one company that just goes, yeah, tweak this, put a she instead of a he here, and put a picture of your golden retriever here. A lot of people use a black lab, do whatever you want, you know, have some fun with that with your dog. You know what I mean? It's just all the same garbage. Cindy has an abiding respect and appreciation for America's military, their families, and our veterans. She will support policies that help strengthen our military to support our men and women in the armed forces so they have the best training and tools available to keep America safe. She also understands the sacrifices made by those who have fought to defend our nation. As such, she will work to ensure veterans and their families receive the benefits promised to them by a grateful nation. Doesn't that, I mean, that really says nothing. Those are platitudes. And they may be earnest ones, but they don't say anything. I will talk on this show constantly about, well, maybe you should address the fact you throw our kids all the way around the planet. Every time you know, some pipeline's getting disturbed, you take 10,000 of our kids and you throw them into the sand to fight, die, or be injured. I'd like someone to address that. But then she put this at the bottom of that, which just drives me insane. Recently, Cindy voted for the largest military pay increase in nearly a decade. So I'm going to break this down one more time. Well, it won't be the last time you'll probably hear this. I can't stand that line. Do you know what the military pay increase was? Do you know how much it was more than the year before? Because they tout this as some kind of accomplishment, like she's really paying honor to our active duty service members. It was 0.3% more than the year before. All it was an inflation adjustment. They didn't do some grand raise where they said, by God, these people are risking their lives for us. We really honor their service. We're giving them 15% more. No, they took the increase from 2016 from 2017 was a 2.6% pay increase for active duty military. That was an inflation adjustment. It wasn't a raise like, hey, did a good job. We really want to thank you for being part of the team. You really deserve some extra. Here's a raise. No, it was across the board 2.6% inflation adjusted pay increase that is automatic. Just like Social Security gets automatic cost of living adjustments, this was an inflation-adjusted pay increase. And the next year, the one that she's touting here is the largest in a decade, it was 2.9%. So they went from 2.6 to 2.9%, a 0.3% difference from the year before. They tout this as the largest military pay increase in 10 years. Not only that, if you break it down by the average, I've done the math. Anybody who listens to the show knows, I'll get that calculator out. It was $15 extra per month for your average enlisted soldier. $15 a month. She makes it sound like, and all of these politicians who tout this figure make it sound like they have just really knocked the cover off the ball to get these troops the money they so desperately need to honor their sacrifice. And I've got one other thing when I come back from the break about her website. And then I'm going to ask a question about the election itself. I am just on a mission of heresy today when it comes to the Republican Party in Mississippi. I'm just tired of them spoon-feeding us establishment. This is the home state. This is where I'll have the effect. This is where this show takes place. I think these are questions worth asking. You can tell me whether I'm right or wrong. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. The Mazda of Jackson phone line here, 601-879-0002. We are engaging in the heresy of questioning the support, the automatic desire or the automatic assumption of support for Cindy Hyde-Smith in the runoff election against Mike Espy. And I'm just asking questions. It's just a thought experiment. You'll all come to your own conclusions. Some of you might think I'm off base, insane. No, you just have to vote for a Republican. I get this sense you know, we've kind of had a little bit of a battle between the establishment and people that are sick of the establishment, which seems to be, by and large, a lot of Republicans. It explains the ascendancy of Donald Trump and the victory of Donald Trump. People are sick of the establishment, yet in Mississippi, we seem to continue to coddle and appease the establishment. I get this, you know, we all have to kind of take things down to a visual level. I just kind of imagine the establishment, after thwarting Chris McDaniel in 2014, putting up a true placeholder in Thad Cochran, knowing full well he would never serve out this term. Yet they told you, they lied to your face and said, oh no, he's going back up there for another 6 years. Although everybody knew they were just trying to keep Chris McDaniel out of there because the party did not control him. And so they cheated people out of that, essentially, knowing they just lied to you. I can't stand liars. And I can't stand it when people know they're being lied to and don't do anything about it. And then the next time something comes up, they place their trust right back in the same people. But I get this visual of the establishment sitting back in the proverbial smoke-filled room, sitting back in their chairs and going, oh, we got them right where we want them. Yep, we thwarted this McDaniel challenge back in 2014. We vanquished him this time, and now we're going to get even those McDaniel supporters. They got all excited because they got to vote for him again. Now we're going to tell them they're being petty if they don't line up behind our candidate. And we're going to have Cindy Hyde-Smith in there for 30 years. Or if we want to take her out and put another placeholder in, we'll just have her resign. We'll appoint somebody else. You know what I mean? This game just keeps on going. They're just laughing at us. Just laughing at the lack of choice that people have in this state. It have to be anointed candidates. So I was looking at Cindy Hyde-Smith's website too. There was one other thing that kind of stood out to me, and this is another thing that I have constant questions about. Now, should I vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith? Should I support her because we want another Republican? And I can go back through this. I don't want to recap it. But this is a freebie for the Republican Party, essentially. She's not essential to get any legislation through now. She would be one more person. You could argue maybe she adds a little bit more room for error in the Republican Party. But Republicans have already got the majority. They're going to have it. Trump's agenda is set in the Senate. The House is gone. She doesn't have any effect on that. Mike Espy is probably a moderate at best. He probably won't go rabidly liberal. To my knowledge, he doesn't have any socialist tendencies, so the damage he could do in 2 years being in the minority is probably pretty minute. The question is, can he be beat in 2020? And I would say in a red state like Mississippi, Republicans could snatch that seat right back from him in 2 years with a candidate of our choosing, not the party's. You know, and so you have to be on guard now. For this strategy to work, you would have to actually be on guard and vote for somebody that was not handpicked and anointed by the Mississippi establishment. And there's also always a possibility that that just happens again. Mississippi has just shown, or did they, that they're willing to line up behind an establishment candidate. Come on, Mississippi, I'm just looking for you to grow a pair, to do something interesting, to break free of this adherence to these rubber stamp rhino Republicans. Quit complaining about them. Quit complaining about Jeff Flake. Quit complaining about Mitch McConnell. Because all you do is vote for more Mitch McConnells and Jeff Flakes. Quit complaining about rhinos. Quit talking about term limits. If you're not willing to exercise and term limit these people out, Thad Cochran was there for what, 34, 36 years or something? You think you were so helpless that only term limits could have helped us, Mike? We just couldn't vote them out. Well, why not? And hell, when you had a chance to vote them out, you voted Cindy Hyde-Smith right in. You put the establishment right back in there again. Quit talking about term limits. Quit complaining about rhinos. Quit complaining about Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell. Quit saying the word establishment because you obviously love it. Cindy Hyde-Smith's website also, and this is, she's not alone in this, but I just don't get this. Maybe somebody can explain this to me. Maybe this is something evangelical that I just don't understand. Cindy stands with Israel. Now, if you go to her website, there's a bunch of different things, you know, law enforcement, military. Of course, she's talking about spending and how she's definitely going to rein in spending in Washington, D.C. Yeah, we believe that one again. Cindy stands with Israel, a strong ally that shares our democratic values. She recognizes Israel as an oasis of freedom, tolerance, and economic prosperity. prosperity in an unstable region of the world. Cindy supports President Trump's decision to locate the American Embassy in Jerusalem, a work to strengthen U.S. Israeli national security, economic and cultural interests, blah, blah, blah. That's what she says. Now, the only reason I bring this up is, why is it just Israel? There's nothing on there that says we stand with Germany. There's nothing that says we stand with Canada, one of our biggest and most staunch and closest allies and truly on our border, or with England or with Australia or with, I don't care, Brazil or the Philippines. I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't know. Why is the need to put to single Israel out and put them on a website like that? And what that tells me when I look at it, and it stood out to me, because one of the things that I vote on is ending endless wars. Conservatives have been taught, have been conditioned, have been brainwashed, have been tricked into thinking that wars and military action is patriotic and conservative. It is not. It's a huge mistake. It is going to bankrupt our country. During the course of my show today, two soldiers veterans will commit suicide. When I get into False Flag Friday, we're going to talk about this latest shooting where this shooter suffered from PTSD. Another consequence of these endless wars. There's a great article on the American Conservative, if you're interested in it, where they take five veterans that weigh in on the last 17 years of endless war in the Middle East. And the gung-ho nature with which they went in, and the realization as to exactly what was going on as they served, and now as retired veterans, they understand this game. This is on the American Conservative. See, there are actually real conservatives out there who understand the folly and foolhardiness of endless wars. Cindy Hyde-Smith's website, Singling Out Israel, tells me she will be a very big hawk on Iran. I will not support somebody who is going to take children who are probably currently in high school, enjoying their senior year with all of the promise that exists for them in the future and the family plans and the great accomplishments that they'll make with careers and their personal life, and take them and send them half a world away to fight and die in the sand in some kind of a conflict with Iran. I will not support that. I will call Cindy Hyde-Smith's office and ask what her stance on Iran is. And since I know that she's a cutout rhino Republican serving the defense contracting industry, I know the answer I'm going to get. So it's going to be probably pretty tough. Maybe she'll surprise me. Maybe her office will surprise me with some kind of announcement. What I imagine is I'll make the question, and I'll say, well, we'll get that to her, and I'll get a form email like I've gotten from Roger Wicker. You know, we get those form things back, right? Because I'm not a contributor to the party and all that stuff. I don't deserve any kind of personal interaction with my representatives, but I'll get some kind of a form thing back. We stand with our troops. We stand with Israel. They're going to say Iran is the biggest state sponsor of terror, completely ignoring the fact it's actually Saudi Arabia. So I'm not supporting somebody who's going to support another war in the Middle East. That was a pretty popular opinion back in 2016 when Donald Trump said he was going to get us out of the Middle East, and people voted overwhelmingly for him. But now that they're Trump's wars, people just ricochet right back. They no core beliefs whatsoever about ending the $7 trillion intervention and adventure in the Middle East. Now people don't seem to really care about that, and they're fine with sending our kids all around the world because now our Republicans in charge are doing it, even though they campaigned against it. When I come back, I'm going to get real. Again, I've got the studio door barricaded. Nobody can get to me in here because I'm disagreeing with other hosts who have great points. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying it's something to think about. I think breaking the stranglehold of the establishment on Mississippi is important. I don't know if this is the time to do it, but it seems like the only time to do it. This is the one chance. Republicans don't have to have her in the Senate. It's already won. It's already a majority. They don't have to have her. Her impact as far as numbers in Washington, D.C., is at a minimal. Just because they've already got the numbers. She'll just be one more. A bill that passes 51-49 takes the same kind of effect in across the country, or a judge approved by those numbers takes the same effect as a bill that's 52-48, 53-47. It's all the same. It's a pass-fail system. One more point doesn't matter. So her effects will be minimal. And because Espy, if he was to win, if people sat home and said, no more, you don't pick our candidates. You gave us a subpar candidate. We will not support it. We will find our own for 2020. Mike Espy's negative impact would probably be minimal. He'd be a moderate in a minority party in the Senate. So it seems to me the damage that he could inflict would be pretty small. Am I wrong? Is this not the time? It just feels like a unique opportunity. Got a quick call on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to share something with you. You can take this with a grain of salt if you want. I like your idea about SP, but I wanted to share this with you. There's a gentleman I've known here in Mississippi for many years. We're talking almost 20. He's from up north, and it's not a smoke-filled room. It's a smoke-filled hangar. He was putting up hay one time when he was in college, just many, many years ago, on a big farm up there, and his buddy said, when they were done, you want a beer? And he said, yeah. But he took him to this huge outbuilding. And when they went inside, he said there were a couple of real nice cars in there with room for about 20 more. Nice big pool table, a beautiful bar with a mirror behind it, comfortable divans everywhere. And he asked his buddy, he said, what's up with this? And his friend just looked at him and smiled and said, this is where it all gets done, buddy. Well, I just wanted to share that with you. Could be something.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Very interesting. That puts a unique Mississippi spin on it.
<You know? laughs> Well, that's what my buddy told me, and I've known him a long time. He'd have no reason to lie, but I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, something you want to hear every day. Thanks so much for that call. I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have the smoke-filled hangar, smoke-filled barn or something here in Mississippi. Look. You know, Louisiana was known for their corruption, and the corruption in Louisiana was just beyond the pale. I mean, it was on the Democratic side, and you know, Huey Long, and some of those things. It takes a while to bust these things up. Does it not feel like we've got this group that is just controlling all of this stuff? And it's just a little sad to me to see. And when I come back, I want to talk about the election results. Is there any hint of weirdness there to anybody? I mean, I'm just saying, with no proof, that the election results seem suspicious. And I'm qualifying this by saying I have no proof whatsoever of any malfeasance anywhere. And let me also go on the record and say I had just got new tires put on my car. There's slick roads out there. If I'm run off the road after this next segment on my way home, it wasn't my tires. It wasn't my car. Somebody ran me off the road. I'm a very happy guy. I'm not suicidal if I get two bullets in the back of the head. I'm just saying, man, there is $4 trillion spending honeypot in Washington, D.C. What would political parties, establishments do to get their little chunk of that, have a little bit of the control of $4 trillion in spending? People have done a lot worse things for a lot less. That's all I'm saying. I'll get to that when I come back. Stay with me. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. You know, there are stories coming out, if you've heard about this shooting out in California with the Marine veteran shot. Was it 12 people at the Country Western show? There's a story coming out of there that they talk about some of the people in there hit the floor. They're down on the floor, and at some point they heard the shot stop, and they realized that the shooter was reloading. At that time, some of them made a decision to grab some bar stools and smash out some windows and try to get out the windows. That was a calculated risk They didn't know if staying there and allowing him to reload, he might have made it over to where they were and shot them. But if he had was able to reload quick enough as they're trying to make their escape through this window, they could be shot. There's always a risk. And we're going to talk a little bit about that shooting today because it's incredibly sad. I'm going to include that in my False Flag Friday segment for kind of another reason, just kind of a commentary reason on that. There's always a risk in making a break for it when you see an opportunity. I'm asking the question today, is it worth taking the risk to escape the rubber stamp rhino Republican stranglehold on Mississippi in this runoff election? And I'm the only person on conservative radio that would dare tread this way. Again, it's just a thought experiment. Everybody make your own decisions. But it seems to me we have a unique situation right now to put the establishment in its place and say, quit spoon feeding us candidates, especially one that voted for Hillary Clinton at one point. Quit trying to dress them up as conservatives, put them on campaign ads, give them a cookie-cutter website, and expect that to trick us. We're tired of the establishment. We want better. It seems like this is a unique opportunity to do that. It does have some risk. Make up your own mind. I'm going to ask one thing real quick, though. And I haven't heard this asked anywhere else, and I don't have any proof of any improprieties or whatever, but I find the election results from Tuesday to be curious. And it may be, I may be completely off base on this because I live in some level of a bubble, but I do have the opportunity to speak to a lot of people around Central Mississippi, both here at the radio station and out in my public life. For months now, we've known this run-up to this election between Chris McDaniel and Cindy Hyde-Smith was going to take place. I have met a few people who were going to vote for Cindy Hyde-Smith largely because they knew her and they liked her. And as I said, she may be a perfectly wonderful woman. There's nothing against that I ever say against any of these people from Mississippi is personal. When I talk about Hillary Clinton, that's personal. I can't stand that woman. She's an objectionable human being. I'm not saying that about Cindy Hyde-Smith. She may be a perfectly wonderful woman. So I've met a couple of people who like her as a person and intended to support her. I totally understand that. No. But I didn't meet any passionate Cindy Hyde-Smith fans that just said, yes, we're voting for her. The reason I bring this up is because I find it very odd that with any lack of support, and I've even asked other people, so not only am I within my own little bubble, but I've asked people within my little bubble, if it is a bubble, do you know people who are supporting Cindy Hyde-Smith? And almost to a person, they said, no, I don't. People are sick of these rhinos going up to Washington, D.C. from Mississippi. Now, the results of the election were such that, for optics purposes, if there was any hanky-panky going on, I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm not accusing Delbert Hoseman. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just saying something that I have observed and questioned in my own head. Cindy Hyde-Smith finished 1 point ahead of Mike Espy. Good for optics, showing that she came in first, even though she had to split. Mike Espy came in second, assuring the runoff between Cindy Hyde-Smith and Chris McDaniel, who came within a hair's breadth 4 years ago of Thad Cochran, was really pretty summarily dispatched during this election. Now, that seems odd to me. Now, to accuse anybody of any kind of fraud or manipulation or anything like that is a very big hurdle, and so I am most specifically not doing this. I'm just, again, this whole show is just a thought exercise of thinking things through. Could there? Now, I was talking to somebody yesterday about, I think it was actually, I was talking to Ron Morris as he was leaving the studio yesterday. We were talking about it because I said, I just don't get these election results. It was just shocking to me that it was such an overwhelming victory for a candidate I saw no enthusiasm for on the ground. Now, I'm aware maybe the Delta really supported her. Maybe the coast. I tried to pull up a map of how Mississippi voted, and because there was this runoff, the whole thing was like beige. It basically said a tie in every county with this one map I looked at. So I couldn't find out where her base of support is. So there's very real possibility that maybe the Delta agricultural areas really came out in her support, and that's what got her such an overwhelming victory. It just still seems curious to me. Now, as we were talking yesterday, as I was talking to Ron Morris about election fraud, and I said, well, let's just look at this for a second. First of all, we know it's possible. Again, I refer you to the documentary Black Box Voting. They show some real-world examples of things that they've seen where as soon as you computerize vote tallying, there's all kinds of nefarious things that can go on. And I've even talked this week about the fact that we don't get a receipt for our things. Seems like it'd be a simple thing to do. But anyway, as soon as you get things to electronics, we all know there's abilities to hack. And depending on where you have the centralized authority, who has access to it, we all know that there's the ability to do this. So then if you know there is an ability to hack or to manipulate voting machines, then you have to go to the next step. And the reason that we say, no, it didn't happen, is because for some reason we believe they would never do that. Certainly they wouldn't do that. Now, we do know that politicians throughout history, this is not unique to, I'm not talking specifically about Mississippi or the United States or even our current times, throughout history, politicians of all stripes have done all kinds of really nefarious things, including committing hundreds of thousands of men to wars that cost them their lives based on a lie. Is it hard to believe that they would also do things with elections? We've seen Democratic vote corruption. We just saw in the last election cycle, well, Hillary Clinton rigged the primaries, where a wildly popular Bernie Sanders was thwarted by a wildly unpopular Hillary Clinton, and she just stole it from him. So we can't assume that they wouldn't do something like that. And again, I'm not impugning anybody with the Republican Party, anybody in voting in Mississippi. I'm just saying these possibilities do exist. The voting totals from Tuesday are odd to me. It's surprising. No, I won't even say odd. It's surprising to me. Fully aware that I could be completely wrong and off base, and I live in a bubble, and that's why I think it should have been closer, at least, between Chris McDaniel and Cindy Hyde Smith. But it was very convenient that she beat SB by 1 point. That's great optics, isn't it? And number two, that she just crushed Chris McDaniel. He had more support 4 years ago. He's had 4 years to ramp up name recognition. Now, I know they've also had 4 years to trash him, to try to paint him to be somebody bad. But his name recognition alone and a dissatisfaction with the establishment would seem to me that he would be picking up a head of steam, particularly with the Trump stuff. Now, maybe Trump's endorsement of Cindy Hyde Smith was the factor. To that, I say, shame on you, Mr. Trump. You saddled us with another 30 years. And, you know, this election, it's a six-year term, man. And they're both up for election. We're going to have 6 years uninterrupted of Cindy Hyde Smith and Roger Wicker. We don't have another swing at any change for at least six more years. And the chances are, if the election results of Tuesday are accurate, we probably won't make a change 6 years from now. That means we're 12 years with establishment rhinos in Washington, D.C. Is this not a unique moment for the Mississippi citizens to sit up and say, we're tired of the rubber stamp rhinos going to Washington, D.C.? Seems like it to me. Again, anytime you try to make a break for it, there's always a risk. It can backfire. I'm aware of that. People might not want to take that risk. But dang, man, the path we're on is just so bad. Seems like taking a risk might be the better course at this time. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get into this False Flag Friday. I want to talk a little bit about the shooter. It's not so much about the event, as horrific as it was. It's just about the state of things, and I mean, it goes into politics too. It's False Flag Friday. We're going to talk about some of the consequences. I've laid out over the past 6 months the fact that just about every, if not every single major conflict, military conflict, has been spurred on to some degree by a lie. Gulf of Tonkin that spurred the Vietnam War never happened. Babies from incubators thrown onto the floors. When the Iraqis invaded Kuwait, never happened. Sarin gas attacks or the chemical attacks by Assad in Syria never happened. We've gone through all of these things. Sinking of the Lusitania. I mean, I've gone back 100, 150 years, and I could go back thousands of years. Maybe I need to do historical things. I've focused mostly on the 1900s, late 1800s. I could probably go back to the 1200s, 1500s, 1800s. False flags are a strategy that the elites and the ruling classes have used for years to drag people to wars. What we saw in that shooting in California may be one of these results of these endless wars and these false flags that start them. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
It is Friday. Every Friday, I remind you, if you're looking for something to do with the kids this weekend, everybody wants to get the kids out, get them a bite to eat. You want to go catch a football game. Anything you want to do to go relax and actually have some good quality food. I always remind everybody on the weekends about Your Pie. I should remind you every week. Your Pie is the one place around the city when I meet people, they're always asking about Your Pie or telling me that they went there and they've absolutely loved it. It's a great place. They're up at 340 Calhoun Parkway up in Gluckstadt, right there by Germantown High School. They are 10-inch, handmade, brick oven fired, made-to-order pizzas. You can do them like you want to. I talk all the time about the tyranny of children picking pizza toppings for years and years. When you get the big pizza from one of the chain places, you have to eat what the kids want. Well, no more. You can go up there and get your own. They also do paninis and gelato. They've got salads. They've even got a craft beer selection. Tons of televisions to watch football with. It's just a great place, a great atmosphere, and a couple of great owners up there. They're veterans themselves, just do a fantastic job, and their place is thriving. It's the best pizza around. I absolutely love it. I was up there a couple of weeks ago. Or no, actually, this was last week. I think I went on the weekend, as I always do, so you may even run into me up there. That's Your Pie up in Gluckstadt, right there by Germantown High School at 340 Calhoun Parkway. They also do things if you've got food allergies. They do gluten-free. You just tell them what your food situation is, and they will accommodate you there. They also do catering, box lunches, things like that. So even if today you're thinking about a good lunch, it's Friday, you want to take that time out of the office and actually get some good food, head up to Your Pie in Gluckstadt. Again, 340 Calhoun Parkway. And tell them you heard about them on WYAB. I think a lot of people tell them that. We send a lot of folks up that way, and it's always good to give a referral to somebody that you know is going to really take care of our listeners. It's Friday. There was a headline today. As a matter of fact, let me try to find it. This is the headline. Iran's leadership must decide, quote, if they want their people to eat. This is a quote from Mike Pompeo. Leadership has to make a decision that they want their people to eat in reference to the latest round of U.S. sanctions. This thing is going to continue to heat up, and I probably should take some time. Maybe I'll do it during the break, because I'm bound and determined to break up this idea that these wars are always about something that they tell you that they're about. And on False Flag Friday, I always want to point that out, because there's the Wesley Clark clip. I will. I'm going to dig it up during the break and play it for you. Back in 2001, they were talking about knocking down Iran. Now, that was before this idea of pallets of cash sending to the Iranians. It was before any of the nuclear deal stuff. It was before anything that's going on right now with the Iranian people. See, these things are pre-planned much further in advance, and they're always for reasons that you and I don't know. These wars are never fought for the reasons that we're told. The people who attacked us on 9/11 didn't hate us for our freedom, because Saudi Arabia sponsored it, and Saudi Arabia seems to be an ally. Saudi Arabia is happy to sell us oil. It doesn't seem like they hate us for our freedom, does it? They're our buddies. Yet they attacked us in 9/11. It's always for a reason other than the one that you were given. Don't make me pull out the Hermann Göring quote again about how people can always be brought to war. No matter where you are, the leadership just has to point to a boogeyman and then tell you if you're a pacifist, if you don't want to attack that boogeyman, then you're somehow not a patriot, that you're a traitor to your country. Wars are not conservative. These endless wars are not conservative, and they're bankrupting our country. And it's a drum I'm happy to beat every single week at some point during the week. Now, there was a shooting that took place in Thousand Oaks, California. It's an incredibly sad story. Apparently, a lot of the people that were, I think dozens of the people that were there were also at the Las Vegas Strip shooting last October. Can you even imagine having lived through two of similar events in fairly similar venues? I mean, you're enjoying country music, and the next thing you know, shots ring out. The reason that I mentioned it on False Flag Friday is it turns out that this guy was a Marine. Now, the more I've read about him, this guy obviously had some emotional issues, or it appears he had some emotional issues even leading into the Marine Corps. Maybe he had some problems even during high school. But they point a lot in many of the stories and just about everything I've read to him to PTSD, which is a very, very real thing. I've referenced this article, and I may post it to my Facebook page, which is my Facebook page is The Mike Madison Show. I don't post a whole – I should probably post more there, but – there's an article on the American Conservative where it takes five veterans and they talk about these endless wars. And a couple of them, they each get like an article to write in there. It's not real long. You ought to take a look at it. My credibility on military service is not high because I have none. I have no military service in my background. It doesn't stop me from commenting on all the senseless tragedies around the world that seem to be as a result of our foreign policy here. But several of these guys who wrote these articles in the American Conservative pointed out the fact that our wars in the Middle East were not even brought up in the elections. We don't even pay attention to the fact that we are still engaged in all of these conflicts around the world. They're bankrupting us. They're killing our troops. A father of seven was just killed last week in Afghanistan in one of these insider attacks with some of the Afghan forces that they're training turned on this man and killed him. He had seven kids and a wife in Utah, and he's dead. And this is not even a campaign issue anymore. I'm probably the only person in central Mississippi that really talks about this with any regularity. We've still got soldiers over there sacrificing their lives. We've got a commander in Afghanistan right now that has just come out and said last week, there is no military solution here. We've spent over $1 trillion in Afghanistan, lost thousands of American lives. To come around 17 years later and go, this is not winnable. A lot of libertarians were telling people this was not even a good idea to go in, and once you went in, it was not going to be winnable. Afghanistan is the graveyard of empires for a reason. Nobody's successful there. But this shooter in Thousand Oaks, California, is another person who suffered PTSD from his deployments over there. And so these consequences come home. Stop listening to things like the Cindy Hyde Smith thing that says she wants to support our troops for keeping our country safe. What we're doing right now is endangering our country by meddling around the world. And I keep talking about this. I never get to it. Boy, I'm telling you, there are things with all of these sanctions on Iran. We are sanctioning the companies in Europe who trade with Iran. We are basically telling everybody who they can and cannot do business with because we have a problem with a particular country. And when I come back, I'm going to ask a very, very obvious question, a very, very obvious question about, you know, what our foreign policy is. And again, if it's not brought up during the elections, it's, you know, two things that were not brought up during the Tuesday elections to any great degree. Really, this just ended up being a referendum on Donald Trump. I'm sure at the local level, people probably brought up some issues, broad issues, you know, socialists were campaigning on living wages or higher minimum wage or health care for all or college, free college for all. And, you know, but this was largely a referendum on Donald Trump in the election. Two things that were not mentioned at all was one was the fact that we still have got hundreds of thousands of our soldiers stationed all around the world, putting their lives at risk with no explanation as to why we're doing it. And it's bankrupting our country. It's not mentioned in one of the most important elections in modern times. Another thing that was not mentioned anywhere is the spending. It was just avoided as a topic. And you know why? Because the politicians don't want you to pay attention to the spending. Yeah, if you ask a Republican, they'll tell you, oh, we need to have an adult conversation on the debt for sure. They've been saying these kinds of things for at least 10 years since our debt has just started ballooning into the tens and maybe hundreds of trillions of dollars. I say maybe hundreds of trillions of dollars because when you figure in all the unfunded liabilities of things that we have promised to people that we have no money to cover, the actual going forward debt of the United States is going to be somewhere north of $120 trillion. It's mind-boggling numbers. It wasn't even brought up in the election. If we don't bring up one of the biggest things is the endless wars in the Middle East, and we don't bring up one of the real existential threats to the United States, which is the bankrupting of this country. Well, they don't even talk about those things in an election. So I talk about them here. False Flag Friday, I mean, you know, it's usually more about a specific event and the way something goes down. But today we just need to start thinking about what we're asking of these young men and women that we send around the world. And then when they come back with mental issues as a direct result of the deep state policymakers, establishments that have led us into these endless wars, and then we turn our back on them to a degree. Families have to deal with these horrible mental traumas that these guys suffer. And now in this case, in Thousand Oaks, California, the society, the city, the victims of this bar had to suffer the consequences of these wars. See, it's not just about the wars where they are. It's about the consequences even at home, whether it's treasure or, in this case, actually lives lost. Quick call. Hey, caller, I just got about 1 minute. Are you on the air? Are you there? I'm sorry. I dropped you. If you want to call back, call back. I got to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and ask just one question. I don't know. It's just kind of left out of the foreign policy debate. I'll get to it when I come back. Call or call me back. Thanks.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment here on the show for today. This is the Mike Madison Show. I'm going to finish this up. I've just got a few minutes left, but I wanted to call attention to a couple of stories. If they're not going to discuss, you know, the endless wars during these big elections, then when are we going to have this conversation? And Cindy Hyde-Smith's asking for a vote, and I guarantee you she will rubber stamp any war that the establishment wants to wage. And we've shown they like to wage a lot. I ran across this story. Now, I already did the thing. Mike Pompeo now is talking to Iran and saying Iran leadership needs to decide whether their people can eat. Now, what that is, there was a lot made about the fact that the Iranians did a death chant the other day. Death to America. Why aren't they saying death to Germany, death to Australia, death to Peru? It's because Peru and Australia and Germany aren't threatening them with mass starvation with sanctions. What do you expect them to do? The arrogance that it takes to stand on the world stage and say, hey, you either play ball with us or your people are going to starve. That's thug behavior. That is thug behavior. Despite reports that the Islamic State terrorist group has lost 99% of its territory and shifted to insurgent tactics in Iraq and Syria, a recent report said an enduring defeat of the organization could take years, if not decades. According to Department of Defense information provided to investigators with the DOD Inspector General, it is in large part due to what is still needed in Iraqi security forces self-reliant. They talk about how we are going to have to stay in Iraq for decades now. Decades. Think about that as you support this Iran intervention now. What's going to happen there? Who's going to come to power in Iran if we take it down? This really ties into these elections. It's just funny that it's not even an issue. Letting a veteran who's dressed in their military attire in front of you at Burger King is a nice gesture. They deserve our respect and our thanks. It's not enough. We should stand in the gap before we send them off to another place to fight and die and come back with PTSD or a missing leg or not at all. And I'm going to ask one question on U.S. foreign policy that I think deserves to be asked. Now, this is not, you know, I always have to preface this because I know that some people just, they can't look at things and just do a thought exercise without fear of this. This is not anti-American or anti-soldier. What would we call Russia and Vladimir Putin if they suddenly invaded Brazil, took it over, overthrew their government, and occupied it for 20 years, imposing their will on Brazil? What would we call that? We'd probably consider it some level of a war crime, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we condemn them for taking over Brazil? What if China, President Xi orders China to invade Mexico and overthrow their government and occupy it for 20 years militarily with no intention of leaving? How would we view the Chinese on the world stage? What would your view of China be if you heard they invaded Mexico, overthrew the elected leader there, hung him, killed him, and then occupied Mexico for 20 years with their military? Would you call that a war crime? Would you call that aggressive? Or would you just say, well, I'm sure they had a good reason to do it? Do you think that the rest of the world accepts our occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and maybe possibly Iran coming up? Do you think the rest of the world looks at that like the propaganda in the United States tries to get us to take a look at it? We're spreading freedom. We're protecting democracy. If China wants to invade Mexico and overthrow their government and occupy it for 20 years, I can guarantee you they can come up with some reason why they had to do it. Now, you and I wouldn't believe it, but that's what happens around the rest of the world to what we're doing right now. They don't believe us either. We're occupiers. We're building an empire. We're invading countries. And we're killing our own kids to do it. And if anybody, Mike Madison at WYAB.com, or on Monday, give me a call. If you can point to one benefit to the average American person out here of these endless wars, you please let me know. I'm willing to consider anything. I'm searching for meaning behind all of this stuff. Guy with PTSD goes in and shoots up, kills 12 people in a bar in California. I submit to you, there's far more negative consequences than anything positive you could spin that way. That's all the time I got. Stay tuned. Talk to
you later. Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.